This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Have y'all noticed that there are so many people that are just upset and angry these days? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? There's chaos in homes. You know, you can turn on the news and just watch how even political candidates that y'all, we've voted for, how they just literally about hate the other side if it's not their party. That's sad. I found it interesting the other day. There was a fight that took place, and it's interesting how even whenever people are fighting, nobody does the right thing and hops in and tries to stop it. What people now do is they pull out their phone and they record it. There's just no honor for life these days, it seems like, right? It's just not happening. But I want to say the things that I just mentioned, and I know there's chaos everywhere, there is a solution, and it's ultimately a switch. Hear me, it's a switch. The Bible teaches us that honor is the foundation of all relationships, and it functions just like a switch. And y'all, that's what we're calling our teaching today. It's called the honor switch. The destiny of all the relationships in your life depends on if the honor switch is on or if it's off. We can change our communities. Y'all, we can change our state. We can change our country if we learn to have honor, if we keep that switch on in our life. But whenever there's no honor in our lives, we're going to see that there's chaos, right? There's chaos. Relationships are totally dependent on there being honor. How many of y'all know that people are flawed? Every one of us are flawed. Church leadership's flawed, political candidates, they're flawed. We're all flawed because we're human. That's reality, and only God's perfect. We understand that too, right? But honor doesn't require a person to be perfect. Hear me today. It doesn't require a person to be perfect. It means that you look past the person, biblical honor, you look past the person to the position that they hold, to the position that they hold. So whether it's God himself, who again is perfect, or others that he's placed us over, we look at the position that they hold. And so just a little while ago, we set in these elders here at Church Live, and we are blessed to have so many people that God's brought to this church that are called to lead this church. But it's important that we show honor to those folks. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at two different places that we need to be honoring in our life. And so we're going to talk about honor as it relates to our relationship with the Lord, but also honor as it relates to spiritual authority that God has placed above us. I want to go ahead and just tell you this. This may sound like a little bit of an unusual type teaching this morning. Like, where are you going with this, Pastor Gene? Just bear with me, because you're going to see whenever we're obedient to honor, God brings blessing in our lives. Amen? He brings blessing. I also want to say that whenever it comes to honor, we don't just honor God, we definitely honor him, or spiritual leadership. Y'all, we are to honor all people as believers. Yeah. We're to honor all people. Whether you agree with them or don't agree with them, we're to honor them, amen? Yeah. Because they are created by God. Come on, somebody. They're made in his image, and so we need to honor them. Whenever you look at the book of Malachi, you'll see that it's essentially about restoring honor. Israel was doing a lot of the religious things. They were showing up to the temple. They were giving some offering. They were praying. But what you find is that there was no honor in what they were doing. And God actually calls them out on it. He calls them out on it. So chapter 1 of Malachi verse 6, the Lord said this, "A son honors his father, and a servant respects his mother. If I'm your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve?" The Lord was getting real with him right there, wasn't he? Where's the honor, where's the respect that I deserve? The thought that I had whenever I was working this up is this, is that any spiritual activity that continues on without honor, it's just ultimately hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy if there's no honor in it. It trivializes God. And the truth is there's a lot of believers who feel like they're just A-okay with the Lord. Like, yeah, we're good, but whenever you look at their lives, you're not going to see that there's any honor in how they treat the Lord. It's just the truth. A lot of people do not honor God. In verse 8 of Malachi 1, it says, "When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased?" I love the Lord, what he says here. Try giving that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord. in anything that we do, the Lord's asking if our heart's really in it. Is our heart in it? So I mentioned we're going to talk about two different areas where we need to have the honor switch on in our lives today. And so first of all, we need to understand that we are called to honor God. That's an easy one, right? We know that we're called to honor God. And how many of you know it's really, really not that hard to serve God? Let me get real with you. It's really not that hard to serve God. It's treating him with respect, and it's doing everything at the highest level that he's asked us to do. Why? Because he is truly the creator of all things. And so we honor that position. And let's look at three main areas where we're going to honor God. The first one is this, through our worship. And let's talk about, let's say, Sunday worship. How many of you know today's the first day of the week? Today's the first day of the week. And God intended that we begin our week by honoring him here in his house together. On Sundays, we need to put God, we need to put his presence, we need to put his people first. We need to honor him, right? But a lot of Christians, they don't honor God on the first day of the week. A lot of them are really good at honoring the ball field. Honoring the lake. Honoring the woods. Getting that yard looking good. Can I get real with you about something? The woods, the lake, the yard, the ball team will not bring blessing in your life. Whenever you prioritize God and you bring honor to God with the first of your week, then he can bless the rest of your week and every aspect of your life. I need somebody to hear me today. We've let too many things get above God, of course. And I know I sound old school with that, but let me just go ahead and tell you, it's the truth. It's the truth. Attendance alone is not honor either. Every one of us can show up today and leave the same way that we showed up this morning. That's not God's plan either. If you're here today, even if you're here for the first time, I want you to understand God had a plan for you to be here today because you're going to receive something that you can leave with today. Amen? Your steps are ordered by him. He's got a plan for you to be here today. And so the honor question is this, is your heart engaged? Is your heart engaged? For instance, whenever you're here, are you present in the room or are you just holding down a seat, still thinking about the fact that I said, I'm going to be a little longer than normal today? Psalms 122:1 says this. It says, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I got to be honest with you. There are some Sundays whenever I'm looking out and some of the looks on the faces, I'm thinking, apparently their Bible reads, I was mad whenever they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I mean, a lot of folks don't bring in joy whenever they're coming into the presence of God today. And I want you to know, David's posture was, he was happy whenever he was going to the house of the Lord. And we need to be that way too. He was expectant, knowing that he was going to leave differently whenever he went to the house of God. Amen? And honor through our worship looks like arriving ready to receive. We arrive ready to receive. We engage in worship, even whenever we don't feel like it. Even whenever we don't like the song. Pastor Gene, I don't like that song. Great, we weren't singing it to you anyway. I'm okay with that, right? Engaging in worship, giving your full attention during the teaching of the word as well. And by the way, whenever you engage in worship, it's working on your heart so that you can receive the word. Come on, somebody. So that you can receive the word. So you can leave here differently. It's making sure that, you know, for instance, during church, that you're not getting sidetracked or your mind's not running. You're not getting on your phone. You're not letting your neighbor be a distraction to you. We need to give him our full attention. A pastor who I've gotten to spend a little bit of time with here recently, he said, whenever I'm in the presence of the Lord, whenever I'm in the Lord's house, he said, I want it to be as if I'm in the presence of a president. Amen. That kind of honor. So we need to do that. Number two, through prayer. Through prayer. Honoring God in prayer means showing up to the conversation and not just spitting out some words, but genuinely being engaged with who he is. With who he is. Can we just think about what we're actually doing whenever we pray? No other religion on the planet can say what we can say about our God. First of all, he's alive, right? Today, you're going to walk out of this building, every one of you, you're probably, if you really take a moment, you'll look out here and you'll be like, holy cow, just look how glorious this day is. It's beautiful out there, right? A little humid, but it's beautiful out there, right? The one who created all of this right here, through the Holy Spirit, you can connect with him and you can talk with him. Do you realize how incredible that is? We have the ability to do that. Our loving Father wants to talk to us. He wants to have a conversation with us. And so many times it's just like, I need to spend some time in prayer. We get to spend time in prayer with him. Come on, somebody. I mean, we truly get to. And think about it. Whenever you're praying, brag on him. I mean, how great is God? You know, you may say, well, Pastor Gene, I'm walking through a hard situation. Can I tell you, there are thousands of people who would love to have your situation right now rather than the situation that they've got. There's always somebody that's in a much, much harder situation than yours is. Think about his goodness. Think about the next breath that you're going to breathe. It's his grace on your life. We have so much to be grateful for. Amen. Brag on him, love on him. A lot of times we're good at bragging on friends and bragging on kids and bragging on ball teams and all this kind of stuff. Brag on him. The word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So as you're bragging on him and you're praising him, and I love to tell him, God, there is no one above you, Lord. Everything, everyone pales in comparison to my God. Whenever we're just bragging on him and loving on him, the word says that he inhabits the praises. He's getting right in the middle of our situation. Don't you want him in the middle of your family? Don't you want him in the middle of your work? Don't you want him in the middle of every situation in your life? That's what's happening whenever we brag on him. Thank Jesus for coming to earth and giving his life for you so that you could spend eternity with him. Come on, somebody. Because we did not, listen, we didn't deserve eternity with Jesus. We've all goofed up. Come on, go to Romans 3. You can read about it, right? We've all sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory, verse 23 there. But he gave his life for us so that we can spend time with him. But whenever you spend time in prayer, you're honoring God. Number three, through our giving. Through our giving. Giving is one of the clearest measurements of where our heart actually is. It's funny that we give very generously to who and to what we value. To who and to what we value. Genesis 3 says this, verse 9, honor the Lord. Somebody say honor.
Honor.
Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I want you to notice the first word of verse 10 is what? Then. In other words, you've got to take the first step. And whenever you take the first step, then God's going to move in your life. He's going to move in your life. Being deliberate and intentional about giving the first to God shows honor. The first to God. This isn't a tithe teaching, but bear with me just for a minute. God asks for the first. Before you pay this bill or that bill or whatever, he wants the first. He doesn't want your leftovers. He doesn't want your leftovers. Verse 13 of Malachi 1 talks about that. Jot that down. You can go read it later. He does not want your leftovers. Young couples, let me just talk to you about something real quick. If you want to see God show out in your life, and I'm not even talking about your bank account balance, I'm talking about move in your marriage, move in your home, move in your work, just to be able to have favor with men, to be able to be used by God. Whenever you are faithful with your giving, you're going to see God blow your mind. Blow your mind. I saw it with my family. But honor the Lord with your first. Whenever we feel obligated to give, then we often give reluctantly. I just said a minute ago, we give generously to what and who we value. And an example I can think of, does anybody ever like come to you and be like, hey, do you want to support my kids, whatever? And you're thinking, no, I don't want to support your kids, whatever. I've got my own kids, whatever, that I've got to support right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you give reluctantly, right? Whenever we honor God, we give with a smile on our face. Because we know how good he is. Because we know he deserves it all. Even if there wasn't a promise attached to it, he still deserves it anyway because it all comes from him. The word says he gives us the ability to produce wealth. You think you work real hard and you sweat real hard and that's the reason you got a paycheck. No, it's because he allows you to earn that paycheck. The word says it's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Without him, you can't get out of bed in the morning. I can't get out of bed in the morning. Amen? Is this too hard to preach, or is this okay? Honoring God with our giving, though, it means that we give the first. It means that we give the best, not our leftovers. Now, obviously, honoring God is the right thing to do. We know that. He's God. But here's what's awesome. He doesn't ask us to do it without attaching a blessing to it. Let's talk about that just for a minute. We can go to Malachi 3:10, for instance. And the term that's used is that he'll open the floodgates of heaven. The NIV says floodgates. A lot of other translations say windows. That he'll open the floodgates of heaven. Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Then the Lord says this, if you don't believe me, try me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that you'll not have enough room to store it. Isn't that a beautiful promise from the Lord? Amen? Y'all, that's not just about finances, the floodgates of heaven, the windows of heaven. It's about a strong marriage. It's about kids that serve the Lord. It's about favor at your workplace. It's just about favor in life. That's what happens whenever you're faithful to honor God in these areas. Amen. I got to say this. My family, my parents, they did this so well, what we just talked about. A lot of y'all, I've heard you say, you know, just asking you about your situation. I've heard a lot of you say, well, you know, I grew up in my family. They were in church every time the doors were open. A lot of y'all were that way, just the same way that my family was. Whenever they really had an encounter with God, they were all in. They didn't miss church. They served every way they could. We were in Orlando for a decade, and my parents, the first thing that they did at that church was they were greeters. The church, whenever we got there, was about 1,500 to 2,000. Whenever we left, it was 8,000. But my parents would hug and shake every hand of all 1,500 and 2,000 that walked in. And those Floridians loved their Southern accent. They loved it so much. And I mean, they just fell in love with mom and dad. In addition to that, they were over our prayer team down front at the end of service like we have here. And, you know, with the church being large, there would be lots of people that would come down. But something about Ann Amoson is that she, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, she always pulled for the underdog. Mom always was looking for the person who was hurting because she wanted to do what she could to help that person. And so they would be down front praying with people. And mom might have a single mother that would come up to her and just say, you know, hey, can you pray for us? We got this going on or this going on. I can't tell you how many times we would leave church, go to the Amoson home. Mom would bring them into the kitchen, somebody she just met 20, 30 minutes before. She'd open up the pantry and she'd say, baby, you take anything you need. Wow, right? But my parents, they honored the Lord. They served. They gave to the Lord, but also to others as well. And I got to say this, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that example that they set for myself and for my sister. Y'all, whenever you bring your full self, your worship, your giving, your presence, your obedience, I want you to understand this. God is going to respond with blessing in your life. He'll respond with blessing in your life. So in addition to honoring God, we're also called to honor those who lead this church. We're called to honor those who lead this church. Now, adding elders is something significant, and I loved what we were just able to do a moment ago. But what we just experienced, I don't want that to just be a ceremony and then we just move on. There's more to it than that. So what does honor have to do with those in spiritual authority? As believers in his church, somebody say his church, he's placed spiritual authority over all of us, including myself. He's placed spiritual authority over all of us, including myself. And the Bible is very specific about this. Paul writes to Timothy, and again, we're talking about elders, leaders, overseers. He says, let the elders who rule well be worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Double honor. Not just polite acknowledgement, not just a little, but double honor. And so I want you to know today that God's going to bring blessing into your life whenever you honor those that he's called to lead the local church. And that should be at this church, in the church down the road, in the church past that, every church, amen? That God's called us to honor spiritual authority, spiritual leadership. And so number one, we honor them by respecting the standard that they're held to. And again, I have to do this myself as well. Paul gives Timothy a detailed list of qualifications for an overseer in 1 Timothy 3. He says they need to be above reproach. They've got to be self-controlled. They've got to be respectable, able to teach, not given to anger or greed. And they've got to manage their household well. Y'all, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot right there. Whenever you read the words above reproach, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds to me like, man, people about got to be perfect. Well, let me go ahead and just tell you, ministry leaders are not perfect. They're human. Come on. They have messed up. Every leader in the church has messed up at some point. But here's what leaders in the local church have to be. They've got to be transparent. They've got to be teachable and correctable. And let's just stop there just for a second. If they're not teachable or correctable, you won't see them on our leadership team here. I can't work with them. Y'all with me, right? I can't work with them. Because if they're not correctable, then they are so set in their ways that we can't move the vision of this church forward. There's a lot of young people that want to get into ministry, and they've got it all figured out as to how it needs to be. And whenever they really get into it, they realize it's not that way. And a pastor or somebody else tries to bring a little bit of correction, and they just don't want to hear it because they've got it all figured out. Those kind of people will never last in ministry. There's got to be some flexibility, doesn't there? You've got to be teachable. You've got to be correctable. I'm still learning so much every day. I've been doing this for about 11 years. I don't really know that much at all. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I'd be in trouble every Sunday, and y'all know I would be, right? But they've got to be teachable. They've got to be correctable. They've got to be submitted as well. Every leader has to be submitted. Are they going to goof up from time to time? Yes, because they're human. And whenever leadership has to be corrected, leadership is corrected. And that includes myself as well. But the men and the women who stand in these roles at Church Alive, I want to say this, they've committed to living under that standard, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week as well. Throughout the week as well. And y'all, that deserves honor, amen? It deserves honor. Number two, we honor them by understanding what the role costs. What the role costs. Whenever I was a pastor's kid, my dad would stand on stage and talk for 30 or so minutes. I thought, man, he's got it easy. And I was an idiot. I was just thinking, how hard can it be to just get up on stage and shuck and jive for about 30 minutes, right? And then I had to do it. Then I had to do it. And then I started to realize, it's not so easy. And I'm not just talking about a pastor. I'm talking about any ministry leader. I mean, what Pastor Nolan does, he didn't figure out what we were singing this morning. He's been working on it all week and trying to hear from God, right? Yeah. I mean, we talk throughout the week and want to make sure that what we're doing jives together, right? And that it works really well together. But ministry leaders, I mean, besides just what they do on stage or whatever, leading and talking, there's so much prep time. A lot of folks didn't realize this, and I didn't either until I was a pastor, that, the average teaching, about a 30-minute teaching, is 10 to 15 hours of prep every week. It's a whole lot more than I ever thought it was going to be. And then, of course, there's administrative stuff, meetings, there's vision that, you're working on. It's being in the Word, it's caring for church family, it's spending time in prayer. It's a lot for all leaders in the local church. Can I just encourage you, pray for them, amen? Pray for them. But Paul says honor or double honor is due for those who oversee and who rule well. He says that there in 1 Timothy 5. Showing double honor to a leader, what that does is it's actually relating to the office that they occupy. It comes from that first definition that I mentioned at the beginning of the teaching, where we're looking past the person to the position that they hold. Just as a heads up, the word for honor there that Paul used in Timothy, it's actually where we get our word honorarium from, as in financial compensation. I want to just thank our board of directors. Like, they take care of our staff. They pay us, and we're not thankfully having to wonder how we're going to pay the power bill. Amen. Some churches, they don't do that very well. They kind of want to keep their pastor humble and broke, and some of them do a really good job of that. I shared with our first service, true story, in the church that my dad grew up in, they had a revival service one week, and the pastor of the church did not get paid that week, and the deacon said, why does he need to get paid? He didn't have to preach this week. Isn't that just such a lack of honor for the pastor in that church? I mean, I've seen it just a lot over the years, how there's leadership in a church, and there's just such a lack of honor towards different positions. Some of you know this, and I don't do it much anymore. I don't have time, but I used to put in sound systems for churches a lot. And I was up in Lexington, Mississippi one time, and I was asking the deacons, who obviously called all the shots. I was asking him, I said, does your pastor want a headset mic or just one that'll clip right here? And he said, just give him a clip. I said, well, he's over there. Let me go talk to him. And he said, he'll wear what I tell him to wear. Here's the thing that we need to understand. Whenever we care for those who rule well, we're honoring God by doing what he's asked us to do. And number three, we honor them by guarding what we say about them. I need you to hear me today on this. Y'all, we live in a culture that tears leaders down just like that. Whenever we don't agree with somebody, and whenever I say we, humans, we often just tear somebody down. We just shred them whenever they mess up. You know, now we've seen some men of God who have honestly fallen, you know, they've sinned. There's been some big things that have happened in the body of Christ in the last 3, 4, 5 years. I know that, and it's sad. But a lot of even believers are doing this. They're just shredding other ministers. They're shredding other ministries. Can I go ahead and just tell you, that's not a kingdom mentality. I've got a group of guys that the Lord's kind of really put on my heart. I've been spending some time with. And a little while back, I sent a video to these guys, and it was of this dude who was just like calling out a lot of big ministries in America and just shredding them. You know, just, it was ridiculous. And I told these guys, I said, this is not going to be us. I said, don't waste your time watching this mess either. Because these people, they act like they're trying to do this big favor to Christians in America, but all they're doing is they're bringing division to the body of Christ is all they're doing. There are some ministries and some pastors, I don't agree with what comes out of their mouth. And you know what I do? I shut my mouth. I'm not going to touch the anointed of God. I don't know the anointing that God has on that person's life. And I'm not going to call them a false prophet. And I'm not going to say stupid things like that. I'm just going to shut my mouth and pray for them. Amen? God, if they're in error, then Lord, deal with them. Just open their eyes. Amen? And so I want to just get real with you. If you've ever been that way, like, oh, this person on TV, he's this or that or whatever, just hush. Just hush. Don't say ignorant things like that, spiritually ignorant things. Amen? Just don't. But also, let's talk about this. Honoring the local church means that whenever you hear something negative about a leader in the church, that you're going to do the mature thing and you're going to talk with them before you believe it and you repeat it. Oh, that deserved a bigger amen. Whenever you hear something negative about church leadership, you're going to talk with them rather than just believing it hook, line, and sinker and then starting to repeat it. Amen? I mean, how many of you guys love what the Lord's done at Church Live? Anybody? You're just so happy to be here, right? Okay, don't you want to keep this strong and healthy? Well, whenever all this right here starts, it's going to go down, right? It's not going to be healthy any longer. There's always going to be accusations, false ones. The Sanhedrin accused Paul. The Sanhedrin accused Jesus. It's always going to happen. Church leaders are always going to have people that are not happy with them. But I want you to understand this. I'm asking you to help protect your church leadership by what you say. Help protect them. Speak well of them. I'm asking you to do this. If you hear somebody else mouth off about a leader and say something, that you call them out on and say, do you know that to be truth? Did you talk to them yet? You haven't? Why are you saying that? Get real with them. Come on, be men and women. Come on, do the right thing. Amen? That you call them out on it. Why? Because you're also trying to protect this house. That you're also trying to protect this house because you know what God's done here. Number four, honor them with your prayers, with your loyalty, and your generosity. With your prayers, your loyalty, and your generosity. The greatest thing this church can do for its elders, for its board, for its pastoral staff, for all of its leaders is to really pray for them. I mean, to sincerely pray for them. Pray that we can hear from the Lord. You know, there's a lot of times as the week's work, you know, as the week's going on, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I mean, I start working on my teaching pretty early in the week, like real early in the week, and I'm struggling. I mean, pray, Lord, Pastor Gene, just give them revelation, amen? Give them wisdom. Pray for the leaders. Pray that we have strength, that we have wisdom, that we have rest. Pray for our marriages. Amen. Pray for our marriages. Amen. Y'all have heard me talk about it. The enemy's after families. The enemy wants to get in the middle of your home. He wants to get in the middle of my home because he knows the responsibility the Lord's given us to lead this flock, amen? Pray for, y'all definitely pray for her. She's got to live with me, right? I mean, intercede 24/7 for Regina. She needs it. But pray for us. We need it. And I also want to say this. Whenever it comes to loyalty in that point up there, It means that you don't pull away whenever things are hard. That you don't pull away whenever things are hard. It means that you don't become a critic whenever you all of a sudden disagree with something. Here's the truth. We got 400 plus people in our church. Do you think that it's going to be possible for me and 400 plus people to agree on everything? With God, all things are possible, but that's going to be a stretch. I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a stretch for everybody to agree with everything Pastor Gene says, right? And so whenever you're loyal, then you stay committed to the house that God's brought you to. I know we got some guests in here, so if you're our guest, don't feel obligated to respond to this. If you're part of our church family, or maybe you've been coming for a little while and you hadn't connected yet, by a show of hands, I want to see hands of people that say, we know that God's got us here to be at Church Alive. Anybody? Come on. Anybody else? Amen. All right, let's talk about this just for a minute. If you know that God's brought you to this house and that He has you here, then it means that you're going to remain here even whenever you and I disagree on something. You see, because a disagreement doesn't mean that God's saying, I'm moving you out of here. It means that you're going to stay here until He says, I'm moving you out of here. People have come to me before and they say, Pastor Gene, I just, you know, I feel like the Lord's taking me elsewhere. Where is He taking you? Well, I believe He's going to reveal it to you. No, here's what happened. Your feelings got hurt. We didn't agree on something. And so you're just up and taking off and you have no idea where you're going. Understand, spiritual covering is very important for us. Think of it like an umbrella. Whenever you're underneath this spiritual covering, and every believer needs to be part of a church, hear me, it was the plan that God gives us in the New Testament. Whenever you're under spiritual covering, you are protected. Whenever you're walking through hard seasons, you have that family around you to walk with you through it. Whenever you come out from underneath that umbrella, you will get rained on. It's just the truth, because you don't have that covering any longer, and the enemy's coming after you hard. We've seen people that maybe have got their feelings hurt and they've left a church and ultimately they never connected with another church, and then you just see their spiritual health just decline and they're going through this and they're going through that. Why? Because they don't have that covering over them. If you know that God's brought you here, and I want to repeat, this applies to Church Alive, to First Baptist, to every church in this county and every church in America, wherever God has planted you, you're to remain until He uproots you and plants you somewhere else. And I'm saying that not just because I want to retain everybody, because I want you to remain under a covering. I know for a fact that God moves people from time to time. 3 weeks ago, I had somebody meet with me. They said, God showed me that I'm supposed to be at this church. And I said, you know what? That bears witness. I agree. I spoke a blessing on them, prayed for them, and they're gone. And it's cool. We love them. We bless them. Amen. We're good with that. Because I want them to be right in the middle of what God has for them. Right? I want them to be right in the middle of what God has for them. But again, loyalty is an act of honor. And it creates a kind of church culture where leaders can lead well. Hear me. And then the whole house, it moves together towards the vision that God has called us all to accomplish. And whenever we talk about generosity, I'm not talking about financial generosity. Just generosity whenever it comes to being generous to thank them, to encourage them. So, you know, if maybe you don't agree, to just be generous with grace as well. Amen. In case you don't know this, a lot of times church leadership beat themselves up after they do their thing. There's probably been times where Pastor Nolan's going home and he's like, well, that worship set was a little rough. And there's probably, I don't know, it only happened. Maybe not. You know, occasionally, whenever I say occasionally, only about 98% of the time, I'm driving home and I'm like, well, that absolutely bombed right there. And then somebody will shoot me a message. They're like, that word was for me today. You will not know how much that means to me and other people, especially like some of our teaching team that I've been bringing up. And y'all know we've got a great teaching team. Maybe they've not done this nearly as much as me. You encourage them, it means so much to them. Encourage your youth leaders. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, teenagers can be hard to talk to. Encourage them. Think about Elizabeth and her awesome team this week of what they did with VBS. Yeah, come on, just give her the honor she deserves. I mean, she leads a great team. And y'all, I mean, we had kids whose lives were changed. Even my daughter said, this is the best VBS we ever had. And so if you participated, thank you. But honor her. Y'all, she worked so hard on this. And I'm just going to go ahead and admit it right here on the camera. We dropped 1,500 balloons at the end of that thing. And she was telling me she wanted to have a balloon drop. And me and Pastor Nolan were both saying, you crazy. We don't need to do a balloon drop. And those kids loved that balloon. And I had to repent to her afterwards. I'm like, that balloon drop was a great idea, Elizabeth. I'm sorry for not believing. There she is back there. You heard me talking about you, Elizabeth. But really, it means so much whenever you encourage our leaders. Maybe if they say something and you know, you didn't quite agree with it, or maybe you feel like their tone wasn't right, listen, have grace for them. Because remember, they got families too. They got a lot going on in their life. Amen? And so again, be generous. And as we close today, know that whenever you honor those in spiritual authority, that God honors you. 1 Samuel 2:30, it says this, I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. Honoring those that God's placed in spiritual authority in our lives is literally an act of honoring God himself. The two, they're inseparable. Whenever you honor the position, listen, when you honor the position, you honor the one who filled the position. You honor God. Hebrews 13:17 says this. It says, honor your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. You see that? They're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Hear me today. There's a direct connection between the joy of your spiritual leaders and the spiritual advantage in your own life. Whenever they lead with joy because they're honored, because they're prayed for and supported, then you benefit, and this whole house will ultimately benefit. And let's remember the first commandment in the Bible that came with a promise. It was a command to honor. Ephesians 6, it says honor. Somebody say honor. Your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on earth. Now we got to talk just for a minute. You may say, well, Pastor Gene, this has to do with, you know, going back to the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. It's a kingdom law is what it is. You can say, well, I honor my mother and father, but then if you dishonor everyone else, that promise isn't going to be attached to it. You're not going to live a long, healthy life. Do you hear me? It's a kingdom law is what it is. Honor released into your relationship shall unlock blessings in our lives. Where there's honor present, things are going to go well. Where it's absent, things will deteriorate. So here's where we land today, y'all. Honor is really not a burden. Hear me, it's a seed. It's a seed. What do we mean by that? Every time you walk through these doors here and your heart's engaged and you're ready to receive from the Lord, every time you give of your first, your best, every time you pray, every time you're praying for the people in authority over you, you're supporting them in this house and you speak well of them, you are planting something, and God's faithful to bring the harvest. He's faithful to bring the harvest. So I want to encourage you, let's turn that honor switch on, amen? Let's keep it on. Let's keep it on, and then let's just watch what God does in our lives. Come on, stand with me today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.